The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Asteroid mining sounds kind of like a sci-fi fantasy. I mean, how realistic is this?
What's possible is inevitable. Everything that was once sci-fi had to change at some point in time.
So this is a piece of an asteroid, right?
Yes, it is.
Could you theoretically create a spacecraft or 3D print a spacecraft in space if you're able to get your hands on these metals?
Absolutely. These are how we will build the future starships and future colonies and future habitats and space stations. We will use metals from asteroids to do that, and we'll use 3D printing as the technology.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Wow. That is too cool, isn't it? We are living in the future. That clip actually explaining how spacecraft could land on metal-laden asteroids and mine them for their precious metals. There are some asteroids that are out there that they've identified that are worth quadrillions of dollars. There's so much gold in them. It's insane. The asteroid Psyche 16 is thought to be made mostly of iron and nickel. And I want to, of course, we'll play more for you coming up a little bit later. But I want to welcome you back. You know I love science. I'm a nerd, right? I love space. We are living in the future, if you think about it. I mean, think about where we are. It's such an amazing time, isn't it? The things that we can do. Printing spacecraft, 3D printers from foreign material, alien material mind. Yeah, we're just in the very beginning of a wild new frontier. That's for sure. If humanity can survive, I mean, I take a look at what's happening globally. China rising with its nuclear weapons. Iran is weeks away from having a nuclear weapon. The divide and disunity, the rejection of God in our country. It's pretty pervasive. We need God, and if we have God in our lives and in our country, then the future is a bright one. It's a bold one, and there are new frontiers to explore, that's for sure. But we'll talk about that. I'll talk a little bit about China coming up tomorrow. I've been following a story I think you're going to really appreciate. But first, I want to thank Ed Morrissey and Sheila Lagminas, who sat in for me. I know I was away for a week. I got a lot of email people thinking, Drew, are you sick? Are you okay? Where are you? And it was nice. It was really nice. My call screener today, Patrick Alok, says, you could take a vacation every once in a while. Yeah. I was away. I mean, that's a long time, sometimes. And it wasn't a pilgrimage. And it just is, you're loved. I like that. I like the fact that people wanted to know where I was. And I'm grateful. I missed you, but I prayed for you every day. I spent a lot of time when I could pray. And you were with me, of course, in my heart. And again, I want to thank Ed and Sheila for just taking the mic while I was gone. I've got a lot to share with you this week. There's a lot of really important things happening in the world and in the culture and in the church. And I'm going to break them all down for you, get you plugged in, give you everything you need to know. I hope you'll hang out with me. Maybe we'll start with some news. How about the infrastructure bill, right? There's an infrastructure bill right now that's being considered in the Senate. And it would spend more than $1 trillion on things like roads and bridges and waterways, and that would help expand broadband access. That's great. That, to me, is infrastructure, right? That is infrastructure. But, and here's the big but, and here's what always gives me pause, right? It also has a lot of pork. A lot of pork in it, and there are senators that are not happy with it, and they're trying to prevent its passage. Let me share with you a quick clip from Reuters. It touches on what happened this weekend that moved the $1 trillion infrastructure bill closer to being passed and what President Biden has his sights set on next.
The U.S. Senate has cleared a key vote on the $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill, which would be the largest investment in American roads and bridges in decades. Senators voted 68-29 on Sunday to limit debate on the bill. That puts it on track for a vote on final passage of the bill as early as Monday, which would then send it on to the House of Representatives. The bill is now expected to pass, which would be a major victory for President Joe Biden. He'll likely next turn his attention toward pushing a $3.5 trillion human infrastructure bill through Congress, aiming to cover child care and expand Medicare for seniors.
All right, we'll see what happens. Senator Bill Hagerty, he's a freshman Republican from Tennessee, held up the bill on Saturday for more amendments and debates. The Senate actually met in a very rare It's a rare Sunday session yesterday because Majority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York, he wants to get this bill passed. They are doing the happy dance right now. They really is. And it did pass a procedural hurdle on Saturday with the help of about 18 Republicans. But right now, the bill needs 10 more Republicans to overcome the filibuster, and it's not yet clear if they're going to get those votes. But what happens if this bill is passed? What happens? That's the big question. It's a concern, as Democrats want to pass a $3.4 trillion package. $3.4 trillion. Just try to get your head around that. Write that number down. Just write 3.4 and write the amount of zeros that are in a trillion. You get a hand cramp. And that's what they want to, that's what they want to pass. And what will it do? It's going to fund all kinds of programs that Republicans are saying are very socialist. And look, I'm not taking a side here. I'm just taking a look at your future, the future of your children, and who's going to pay for this, right? You are going to be paying for this. Your children are going to be paying for this. Their grandchildren will be paying for this. That's the bottom line. It's not a Republican-Democrat thing. It is a socialist thing. The first infrastructure bill needs to pass before the second could be considered, and the second bill will be able to pass without any Republican votes using a process they call reconciliation. So now the minority leader, Senator Mitch McConnell, said that Republicans will not vote to raise the debt ceiling. And that needs to happen in order to get the bill passed. Who in their right mind would want to raise the debt ceiling right now, huh? Let's stop spending. Okay, let's just stop spending. Let's not raise the debt ceiling anymore. We don't need to. So, CNN reported, they've been following the story. A lot of people have been following. I'm going to continue to keep you plugged in. But I want to talk about something a little bit lighter. I don't want to get too riled up too early in the show here. Well, we can break more of this down. I'll just keep that on your radar. We'll continue to follow what happens with your money, because that's what's going to happen and to our country. I want to welcome somebody, though, to the show. I want to welcome my producer, Maggie. And right before the broadcast, I'll tell you what happened. She was in studio. She's working out all the bells and whistles here. It's her first solo day with me. I was on vacation, as you know, and she was on the board with Ed and with Sheila cutting her teeth. I said to her when I left, please get all the kinks worked out so when you come on, it runs smoothly. And all of a sudden, I see her across the glass from me here in the studio. This big smile on her face. She gets up from behind the board where she's sitting, and somebody delivered flowers to her. And Maggie, who was that? It was your mom and dad, right?
It was my mom and dad. Shout out to mom.
Yeah, and they said good luck today.
Real MVP.
We're blessed to have you, and I know your parents are super proud of you.
Yeah.
So it's great to have your daughter on our team here. So, Maggie, enjoy the flowers. That's great. I thought it was from a guy. I thought, maybe Maggie's got a suitor. Maybe she's got a secret admirer.
You never know.
You never know. I might see a lot of flowers showing up in the studio here before long. Who knows?
It's a new season.
That's right. Yeah, we were talking off air, and I know I'm all over the place today, but a little bit later in the week, Maggie was saying to me, she was saying, it's so hard to date when you really want to, when you're Catholic and you got a faith focused vision of what that relationship should be about and where it should lead. So a little bit later in the week, if you're in that situation right now, if you're frustrated, if you are looking for Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, I'm going to talk about it. I think it's a great topic to dive into. I'd love to hear your experiences and love to hear your success stories as well. So we'll get into all that, all right? And you're more than welcome anytime. I just want one more thing, because I can't let this go. This comet, I just want to talk about this for a minute, because I do find it fascinating. CNN reported that astronomers have discovered the largest known comet, all right? The largest known comet. It's about 1,000 times more massive than any others. And it was named after its discoveries. Bernard Donnelly, I think, is the one discoverer, and the other is a Bernstein. So they kind of named the comet after both these guys. It's huge. It's between 62 and 124 miles across, and its discovery was announced in June. This is unusual, and the comet is unusual. It's going to make its closest approach to our sun in the year 2031, so we're about 10 years away from this. All you'll need is an amateur telescope to see it. That's 10 years away. So we'll see some of these other strange signs in the sky. And I wonder about this, because I know that in the past we've had mass extinction events. I've talked about Tunguska and other things that have occurred that come from space. there's a real probability that something could come on a trajectory that we don't even see yet and could really make us vulnerable. And that's why when I see these stories, I often think God is the creator of everything. You know, I shared a story the other day. My daughter turned me onto a passage in the Diary of St. Faustina that I missed about how the Lord loves Faustina so much, he was willing to create new worlds for her, a new world. I mean, literally a new world, more beautiful than this. And think of the pristine beaches and the snow-laden mountains and the incredible topography and beauty of this planet, right? Imagine the new world. And she said, I don't want anything else but you. That's all she ever wanted, right? But you think about God, who is the creator of the universe, right? What is out there? God's in control of everything. Yeah, there can be an asteroid or a comet that might come our way. There might be natural calamities or disasters in your life. But God is in control of all that. When we reject God, I think we remove ourselves from his protection sometimes. And we suffer our own consequences. I do believe in chastisements. I do believe that we are punished for sin. Not everybody agrees with that with me. I do think there's consequence for sin. And I do think it comes on a lot of different levels. I think it comes spiritually as well. I see these stories, and it just gives me sometimes pause. I think we need to pray more and really always be right with God. There was another discovery made in our solar system, too, and that was an asteroid. And I was mentioning this a little bit earlier. It could be worth about $250 billion. I don't even know how much. If a trillion will cramp your hands, right? How many zeros, Patrick, can you look that up for me? How many zeros is in a quadrillion? How many zeros is in a quadrillion? Asteroid Psyche 16, and we played some of the audio at the very beginning there. Okay, here it goes. Thank you, Patrick. Patrick told me, now write this down, and when you're done, give me a dollar for every zero, okay? 1,000,000,000,000,000. Is that what you said, Patrick? 1,000,000,000,000,000. Good luck, right? That's insane. So I could see guys like Bezos and Virgin Atlantic and all these other companies trying to send stuff out to space. Can you imagine mining an asteroid that's worth quadrillions of dollars? Asteroid Psyche 16 was actually discovered in 1852, so it's not a new discovery, but it was believed to be made mostly of iron and nickel, and NASA's preparing to probe. I guess it'll be sent in about 5 years to the asteroid to see how it can be mined. And how they'll do that at this time, who knows? 3D printing, as the clip we played said, leaves a lot to the imagination, doesn't it? A lot to look at, a lot to get into. One other story here, very quickly here, too, because I rejoice in conversion, and I don't think we can judge people, right? I don't think we should judge people. We have a right to call out sin where we see it, and I'm with you on that. But Britney Spears, I don't know if you heard this story or not. Do you believe this? I don't know. Britney Spears, the singer who's been in the court battle, right, with her father over conservatorship, right? He's got conservatorship over her right now. She wants out of that. Of course, many of you remember her music and her, some of the crazy things that have happened online. She went online and posted a social media post, and she said something that really got my attention. Guess what? She says she's Catholic. Britney Spears is now a Catholic. She said that in her post. She got back from this video. I think it was an Instagram post she put up. What was it, Instagram? I forget what it was. Was it Maggie? Was it Instagram? Well, yeah, it was Instagram, she's saying. Where she's in this little dress. She goes, as for this next video, I just got back from Mass. I'm Catholic. Let's pray. Right? I'm not going to mock her. I want to say bravo. I think the sacraments bring healing. I think confession is a good thing. And I think if she found the Catholic Church, then God's grace is at work. Just a little background on her. She's been raised Baptist. And then she got into like Kabbalah, like Madonna and others did. And that's kind of a Jewish esoteric philosophy that, unfortunately, Madonna was baptized Catholic. She's now apparently adopted. So let's pray for Madonna's conversion. But this change to apparently being a Catholic, totally unexpected. And she's been posting about prayers, including the Hail Mary. On her Instagram account in the recent past. So, Brittany, if you're listening, welcome to the Catholic Church. And I would ask everybody to pray for her. I really would. I'd ask everyone to pray for her continued conversion and, of course, for her healing. I think that's such great news. I want to talk vaccines with you today, too. Just not the Q&A of the vaccines. I want to talk mandates with you for a minute, too. And you're more than welcome to join me. I'm going to give you a number. Call in anytime. It's 888-914-9149. It'd be good to hear your voice again, and feel free to Let me know what you think on this. Let me tell you what's going on here. And Dr. Joseph Meany is going to be stopping. I'm going to get him on the air, get his take as well. The Pentagon just announced this afternoon that they're going to mandate that all military personnel, okay, if you've got somebody in the military right now, they must receive shots against COVID-19 by mid-September, okay? All military. My daughter was a Marine. I often share that story with you. She told me when she got her inoculations or vaccinations when she was in there, I mean, they lined her up and her arm was like a pincushion. Boom, 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 shot after shot after shot after shot after shot. And I mean, it's serious stuff. There's some people who conscientiously object to going ahead and having to, get the vaccine. They feel they don't want it or it's not been FDA approved yet. So there's some concerns. So there's a growing list right now of federal agencies and businesses and local governments that are saying, yeah, I know you might have a concern, but you're our employee and we want you to get these shots. Why? Because the Delta variant, now the Lambda is rising as well, but the Delta variant, there's this tide of Delta variants of this virus is on the rise. So you see major organizations, corporations like Walmart or Delta Airlines, BlackRock, Cisco, Facebook, Google, Ford, right? Even Anthem, Disney, the New York Times, Washington Post, a whole litany of them are now requiring their employees to get the vaccination. So hospitals and nursing homes, including Catholic ones, are also making it a requirement. And even New York City, Indiana University, San Francisco County. I mean, look, the list goes on. I can give you probably 50 more places. A number of other state and local governments have issued similar mandates. But not everybody's happy with it. There's a group of police officers, the San Francisco Deputies Union. They've been responding to the new vaccination mandates. And here's what they had to say. KTVU, we'll share the story. I think you'll appreciate it. Listen.
This picture of a woman hanging out of a Cadillac while armed with an AK-74 was put on social media along with this statement, quote, "Public safety of San Francisco has turned into the Wild West and will get worse when officers quit due to the vaccine mandate." That's what the San Francisco Deputy Sheriff's Union posted on Facebook in response to plans that require all city workers be vaccinated.
This mandate is so strict, we have employees that are going to quit.
All right, there's going to be a lot of people doing the same thing. My producer, Tom, who works on the show with me, his daughter works for the government, and she's down in Texas. She's looking for a new job. She doesn't want to get vaccinated. She has some concerns about it. So there'll be a lot of job changes, maybe even some people, you know, not going to work. We might see some of these officers as well. But the problem, though, is what about those people who have moral problems with the shots, like my producer's daughter, let's say. Remember, Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, they were tested on fetal cells obtained through abortion, while Johnson & Johnson vaccine was actually developed using fetal cells obtained through an abortion. Now, there is a difference. And I want to be clear because the bishops of the United States, in conjunction with the Holy See, right, they've said that getting any of these shots would not constitute a sinful action because it is classified as something called remote material cooperation. What's that mean? In other words, it's far enough removed from the original abortion that by you getting the shot, you're not cooperating with it, okay? So the Holy Father said get the shot. You heard the USCCB. We've talked a lot about the morality of this. My personal opinion, and this is just Drew Mariani, it's not reflective of Relevant Radio or anyone else, I have a real problem with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine for the very reason that it was developed using these fetal cells obtained through the abortion. The Pfizer and the Moderna, I think the remoteness is even further there. I know there's some other vaccines that are on their way out. But there's some people who say, I don't want any connection with it. You know, we've heard about, you know, from Bishop Strickland and so many other people months ago when the vaccines were being developed. But some people say, I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want it. But they may lose their job over a moral concern. And, you know, there's been a lot of insurances, but people don't want to get the shots because they don't want something tainted with abortion. So some of these people are going to ask their employees for religious exemptions and mandates. But it's not clear whether their pastors will support them in that request. In fact, Cardinal Timothy Dolan has asked his priests not to support those requests. But on Friday, the bishops of Colorado said that they'll support anyone who asks for an exemption. So a lot of confusion, right? A lot of confusion. That's why I've invited Dr. Joseph Meany to join me today. He's the president of the National Catholic Bioethics Center in Philadelphia. He's also has a PhD in bioethics from the Catholic University of Sacred Heart in Rome. And his dissertation was on conscience and healthcare, and it's good to have him with me today. Doctor, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Great to have you. So, you know, let me throw you a softball to start with. Give me your take on mandates and exemptions. How do you read this? How do you see this? And just give me your big picture view, if you could.
Sure. Well, as you say, right, it's turning something into an avalanche. I mean, there's so many organizations and groups that are mandating or making these requirements for their employees. And I would have to say, you know, the church is kind of being battered by this, you know, and everyone is like, what's going on and where do we stand, et cetera. It's confusing for a lot of people. Yeah. And I think also, like, the temperature is rising, yeah. You know. People are throwing out the accusations of, you know, you're like Adolf Hitler, you know, all kinds of things, which you know, is never good when we start just, yeah, attacking people for one stance or another, rather than trying to understand in charity, you know, where people are coming from, but also to understand the importance of conscience. Mm-hmm. You know, the Catholic Church has such a tremendous regard for the judgment of conscience of, you know, well-formed individuals who are trying the best they can to do what's right, and I think that's getting a little bit lost.
You know, I could not agree with you more. You know, you hear from people all over the country about the mandates. Your organization even has a form for people to use to help kind of make it clear why they're seeking an exemption. I think that's important. And I want to take a short break. When we come back, I want you to talk about that. And this may be something you want to get. So look, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to give you a web address here. It's ncbcenter.org. If you've got a question, a comment, feel free to join us. We'll get you on the air. We can talk a little bit about this, taking a look at seeking an exemption. What would qualify you for that? Should you get the vaccine or not? There may be forced mandates coming. You know, where do you draw the moral line? Our conversation will continue right after this.
The left is using the pandemic to make permanent the lives they want you to lead. We've seen churches closed under the guise of preserving life, neighbors reporting on each other under the guise of unity. We're all in this together, so long as we all stay in our homes and don't socialize. Teachers' unions are the most powerful political entities in American life, to the point of wrecking the lives of their students if the teachers don't want to work. Local small businesses have to close, but Walmart can stay open. And don't forget, Fauci knows best, parents. If you disagree with any unelected bureaucrat, even if it conflicts with what they said mere days earlier, you must hate science, and you're putting your kids and everyone else at risk. What connects all of these things? What draws them together besides that they draw us apart? Why is worshiping God, burying our loved ones, celebrating our birthdays, graduations, and marriages banned, but protests and riots allowed, if not to break the tenuous hold we have on family, faith, and community? The three things that make us less dependent, and in fact, more independent from government power and coercion.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, I just absolutely love that. That was Ben Dominic. I actually saw him, I think he was on a show called Primetime on Fox. I think it was Thursday night. I should actually run this commentary for you. It was so on point. I mean, I could not get over what he had to say. I thought it was awesome. And he talks about government dependency from cradle to grave, and of course, we can talk more about that coming up. If you're joining me now, we're talking about the government wanting to mandate vaccines, but a lot of companies are doing the same thing, and it's raising a lot of moral questions. And, you know, here's the thing. You might already be vaccinated. You might be saying, what the heck? Come on. You know, this is for the church said to do this, and it is for the common good. Why aren't you getting vaccinated? And then on the other side of the aisle, you might be people saying, look, this is an experimental drug. The FDA still has not approve this. We don't know the long-term effects of this. You know, I have moral concerns because, you know, some of these vaccines were cultured and aborted fetal cell lines. I want nothing to do with it. I can see both sides, can't you? And clearly, I'm sure you can, right? So as tensions rise, I think so does intolerance. We become more intolerant of one another, and anger and vitriol and division ensues. That's what happens. How do we get to peace? How do we get to unity? How do we do what's right, what's best for the common, for our fellow man? I'm joined today, as I was sharing, with Dr. Joseph Meany, president of the National Catholic Bioethics Center in Philadelphia. And there are some people who are saying, look, I'm on that side where I do want to conscientiously object to this. God bless anyone who's not an anti-vaxxer, but I just have a moral concern with this one, somebody might say. I mean, this is so nuanced, right? Well, the NCB Center, they went ahead and they've got a form that will really help you make it make a clear decision as to why you're seeking an exemption. And as I said, Dr. Meany joins us today. Doctor, tell me a little bit about this form, and let's also talk about this. You and I were talking, chatting a little bit during the break, and civility is something that's sometimes lacked here because people get very dug in on their positions, and there's a lot of anger and a lot of, you know, not seeing the other person's perspective and all in this. And when it gets hot, it's really hard to get any sort of progress. People to kind of dig in. Those two right. things: one, where we are in terms of civility and temperature, and then two, this document, why somebody who really may feel that they have to conscientiously object, how they'll find merit in this.
Yeah. I think another really key point is humility. None of us can claim to be experts, right, because this is such a new virus. and even the vaccines are quite new. And I remember reading an article, it was very interesting, where the individual said, you know what, the Delta variant was tearing through India, and then all of a sudden it stopped, and they're not sure why. You know, it was over a very short period of time. But we just don't know a lot of the long-term effects of both COVID and some of these vaccines. And all that, you know, leads to a lot of people having a sense of, like, gosh, you know, to give proper informed consent to a medical procedure, I just need more information. And you know, my conscience is bothering me about this. And then, of course, the other thing that we always see, you know, is that whenever a person is making a very serious, you know, discernment, an ethical discernment, it doesn't help if they're under a huge amount of stress, under a huge amount of pressure, et cetera. And being told that your job is on the line just takes this to the next level in terms of people being completely stressed out. It's really, really unfortunate.
All right, let's take a few calls for you, too. A lot of people patiently waiting to join us. If you want to get in, there's one line open. It's 888-914-9149. You can sound off as well. Oh, I just lost a call. I really want to go to Christine in Arizona. And if you call back, I'll get you on there. Her comment, she was a healthcare worker. She's going to be mandated to get her vaccine, and she was going to object to it. But people, feel free to give us a call back. I do want to hear what you had to say. But Lisa in Geneva, Illinois, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Thanks, Drew. I'm concerned for one reason, many reasons, but the one I'm calling about is the fact that mandating the vaccine is a grave disservice to the many people who have real health concerns that are being ignored. And I'm referring specifically to those who suffer from long COVID. The British government has done a much better job than our government in tracking. Our government is not even trying to track any of these people. The Survivor Corps Facebook group has it over 170,000 members, and I imagine that's just the tip of the iceberg. But the British government is estimating that people who have had even mild cases of COVID tend to have lingering side effects, which right. are terrible. I mean, disabling. There are young marathon runners who are in wheelchairs, and I'm not exaggerating.
Right.
And this is not being addressed very well by our government. There's, you know, $1.5 billion NIH money supposedly going to be spent on long studies. But people, as the, you know, director of Survivor Corps mentioned recently, people are suffering and dying daily from this.
Right.
And
right.
Right now, there's a study, at least one study going on at Yale University, which has found that, hasn't found anything yet, but is basically questioning whether this is going to be
right.
helpful or a bad thing.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I think that's a very, very good point, right, is that we don't even understand the long-term effects of COVID yet, and that there are a lot of things that are quite mysterious about the disease in terms of some people being very asymptomatic who have it and others, you know, who have this long COVID, et cetera. I would just add, you know, the whole problem of the variants is quite interesting. You know, are the variants going to be causing different forms of COVID over time? And also, you know, people who've gone through the disease, requiring them to get vaccinated afterwards, you know, they should have natural immunity. So then it's the question of, like, well, is the vaccine really helpful for them, or is it going to cause more problems? But, I mean, all these are questions.
All right. We'll move along, Doctor. We'll go to Christine, or who's up next? Yeah, Christine in Illinois. Christine, good afternoon.
Hello?
Hi, Christine. You're on the air. You know, we're having a
slight...
Hello? All right. Yeah, doctor, I think we're having a slight issue here with my phone, so just hang on one quick second. We'll get you right back up. Let's go to... let me go to Charlie in Philadelphia. Charlie, good afternoon.
Yeah, one of the problems I'm having with getting a vaccine is that you have a government that's pro-abortion, pro-euthanasia. They're even going to tax us now for abortion. And they want you to, we're worried about your health and we're concerned about your welfare. I just don't believe it. And I don't know why they're pushing this vaccination. If you don't want to get it, if I'm vaccinated, I don't care if somebody else gets it because I'm vaccinated. And they're pushing this. And I don't understand why they're pushing it. There's always going to be a variant of this. I mean, this is unleashed on the world. And somewhere in the world, it's going to mutate and come back to get us.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's already mutating right now, Charlie. So I totally understand what you're saying. And, doctor, let's talk about that. You know, a lot of people, I've heard a report earlier today that most people who are in the hospitals now are from the unvaccinated group. Although I do know some people who've been vaccinated and they are getting COVID. I know a young girl, she's a 23-year-old girl, and she's lost her sense of taste and smell. None of the other symptoms, but she was vaccinated as well. But your thoughts on Charlie's comments?
Yeah, I think it's very, very true, right, that there's a lack of trust, that a lot of people feel like, you know, is the information they're getting unbiased and useful, or, you know, are things being suppressed, that, you know, free speech is not being allowed on this topic sometimes, or even like scientific research is maybe being skewed. I mean, all those concerns are out there, and it's a real problem because, you know, we should hopefully be able to rely on...
All right, doctor, are you still with me? All right. Let me take a quick break here, and I want to come back. We'll continue our conversation. My apologies. We'll be back with more right after this.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, it's good to be back with you. Thank you for tuning in. My apologies for anyone who may have inadvertently got dropped. So, yeah, a little gremlin here or there. Every once in a while, there's a technical issue. I was funny. I was watching the Olympics over the weekend, and I actually saw the same thing happen. They lost audio. I think it was during the women's basketball game or something I was watching, something like that. And somebody else had to step in. I'm thinking, man, I'd hate to be the person in charge of the audio for that show. I mean, last time you'll do it. But, hey, when you talk about issues like this, I expect some craziness. And if you're just joining me, we're taking a look at blanket mandates. More and more organizations are beginning to do this. I saw a piece earlier today, too, where there's a physician who says, look, I'm pro-vaccine, but blanket requirements outside of healthcare go too far. And as a physician with a lot of experience dealing with patients who don't follow what we ask them to do, I believe you might win more bees with honey than fire. And I think he is right. There's a lot of division right now. A lot of people are getting angry over the fact that people are not vaccinated. And other people are angry because they're being mandated to, and they're going to end up losing their job. They're being forced to go ahead and do this. Some employers have begun mandating that their workers receive COVID-19 shots. And there's been a number of different Catholic bioethicists. In fact, I'm joined by Dr. Meany, who's one of those, who says that conscious exemptions are necessary. You know, it's a Catholic doctrine that people's well-founded consciences, that their conscientious objections really are part of their religion. And Dr. Meany, who's the president of the National Catholic Bioethics Center, said that the church has stated that people can receive the shot or they can decline it. In both circumstances, he says the church defends their right to do so. In fact, let me go to Christine right now. She's been holding forever. Christine, my apologies. I know you've been on hold for a long time and been popping in and out. Thanks for your patience. You're on the air. Christine, are you with me? All right, let me put her back in queue. We are having some strangeness. My apologies. I'll try one more call or two. You know, gosh. And if for some reason the phones don't resolve themselves. Hopefully they will by the chaplet, which is coming up in a few minutes here. But, one other note here, and then I'll go back to the phones. I look at where we are in terms of people's attitudes when it comes to the vaccinations. And this is just an observation that I've come across. I thought it was pretty insightful. You know, we live in a culture where abortion is the high sacrament, right? It is the gold standard. It must be protected. Politicians sell their souls for it. It's justified. The entertainment industry promotes it. Mandatory vaccines undermine Roe v. Wade and choice. You know, suddenly, a number of people who are in that culture of death, they no longer subscribe to my body, my choice. Isn't that funny? You remember, Roe v. Wade, that very, very famous decision in 73? You know, what Roe v. Wade came down to was a right to privacy, right? That's ultimately where abortion was rooted. The right to privacy, whether it was founded in the, 14th Amendment, the concept of personal liberty and restrictions upon state action, or some argue it's maybe the Ninth Amendment reservation of the right of the people, the rights to the people. It's broad enough to encompass, let's say, a woman's decision whether or not to terminate her pregnancy. So in the vernacular, this was very quickly reduced to the pro-Roe movement, which was identified as pro-choice. And that was a clever move. I've often said this. Pro-choice. Why don't you call yourself what it really is? Pro-death, right? Pro-abortion. So they're all about abortion rights. My body, my choice, right? In fact, there have been legal attacks on Roe ever since. You know, states passing legislation that in one way or another try to restrict abortion law. And today I just find this mantra, my body, my choice, not being a two-way street when it comes to vaccinations. And again, I don't know where you stand on this, but a lot of people are saying, look, it's my body and my choice as to whether I want to be vaccinated. Are you telling me I'm going to lose my job because I have to get a vaccination, even though I morally object to the vaccination, or I have concerns, or the fact that it's not FDA approved yet? You know, so this concept of my body, my choice is under massive attack right now, from liberals too. If you think about it, a couple of headlines here. The Washington Examiner had this line. They said, DOJ says that it's legal to mandate COVID vaccines. Right over there at CNN, there was CNN political analyst says that it's time to make vaccinations and vaccine passports mandatory. All right. Julian Zelizer says, leaders need to think about good and collective, not just the rights of the individual. What happened to my body, my choice? The rights of the individual don't exist anymore. It's about the collective, right? So if that's good for the vaccination, if that's good for a mandate on vaccination, shouldn't it be the same to hold true when it comes to abortion? What happened to my body, my choice? It's gone, right? 2/3 of Democrats want mandatory masks even after the vaccinations. So it's not just mandatory vaccinations that they're supporting. They want mandatory vaccinations and masks. And, it goes on and on and on. So I don't know whether they even realize what they're doing. You know, I think it's a clueless move. But I think it's something to ponder, something to think about. The central fact that there's a push on to make vaccines, to make masks, to make vaccine passports mandatory. The more they do that, I think, in some respects, God brings good out of every situation. It undercuts the premise of Roe v. Wade. Right? That's how I read it. That's how I see it. Let me go back to the phones. Take a few calls. My apologies, Dr. Meany. We're having difficulty reconnecting with him. Let me see if I can get Christine on again. I'll see if she's there. Christine, are you with me? Good afternoon. Hi, Christine. Christine, I apologize. I cannot hear you. I don't know whether we're having phone issues here or not. Let me just try another call. Let me try Haley in Cookeville, Tennessee. Hi, Haley. Good afternoon.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can. Good afternoon.
Hi. I just don't understand
at this point, with so many different variants coming out now, why governments seem to continue this unrealistic expectation of zero COVID. It's a completely unrealistic expectation that we're going to eradicate, or as the president said, shut down this virus at this point. And instead of being the arbiter of what science to listen to, it seems as though the government should be presenting, you know, accredited studies and then letting individuals decide and make risk assessments for their own lives.
Yeah, well, I'm with you on that one, Haley, personally. I think people should have a choice as to whether or not they want to be vaccinated or not. I mean, you're hearing from the Biden administration and from many out there that, look, this is for the common good. We need to get the population vaccinated. Otherwise, we're going to continue to see these outbreaks. It's going to shut down business. It's going to affect schools. It's going to affect the economy. Look, there's a lot of variants out there. I'm seeing already that these initial round of vaccinations are talking about administering a third booster. You're going to need a booster for those two shots that you've already gotten. So I think there's a lot to learn. We'll have to see what ultimately unfolds. We'll see what happens. That's all I can say. I mean, I don't know. The government's going to continue to push to get everybody vaccinated to the point of making mandates. And as I said, you're seeing big business and you're seeing states on board with that right now. How it ends, I don't know. That's really the big question. It really is. But I appreciate your perspective. I don't think we're going to see much of a change, though. Do you? I don't think we're going to see much of a change when it comes to the government's position on this. This is what they want to do. This is where they are pushing us. And look, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I want you to know where I stand on this. I've traveled the planet, and I have more vaccines in me than most people. You know, to go to certain countries, you need to have certain vaccinations. And I'm all for vaccinations. I'm pro-vax. But I'm also, more than anything, pro-choice, pro-liberty, right? I am for a person's ability to choose whether or not they want to receive that vaccination or not. And this guy, Ben Dominic, made a great point. He says that there, you know, the Biden administration, there are some on the left that are making the pandemic a permanent crisis. And this is to your point, Haley, to distract Americans and achieve their goal. What's their goal? To seize power. How do you do that? By undermining community and family structures. And I've had this conversation with critical race and all these other issues. It is an attack on the family. It's an attack on the family. So he says, if you're wide awake, you understand that the authoritarian left is using this permanent pandemic to achieve, you know, many of its ends, more ends than it could imagine. They weaken the family. They restrict the faith. They undermine community in order to rule over you as they see fit. They'll determine whether you can travel, who can go to school, what venue you can enter, you know, whether you can fly. There's a whole litany of things that we're seeing. Somebody proposed that only vaccinated people can fly. That was another proposal that was out there. So we are really in a strange time. And the bottom line is they want you beholden to the government above all else. They want the government to, they want to replace the family with the government. They want you dependent on them from cradle to grave. That's what's happening here. You know, and as you heard in the clip I ran, churches are closing under the guise of preserving life. Neighbors are reporting on each other. That sounds like something out of Nazi Germany. Under the guise of unity, right? We're all in this together. You know? Yet when you are forced to be in your home, when you can't socialize, that's a problem. Teacher unions, of course, we've had conversations about them, and I've got sisters and sister-in-laws that are teachers, so I'm not anti-teacher either, but I do have some problems with some of the things that they want to advance. Dr. Fauci, people look at him like he is the, you know, the oracle of knowledge when it comes to COVID, that he is all-knowing and that we have to listen to whatever he says. Why is worshiping God or burying your loved ones or celebrating your birthdays or going to graduations or having marriages, why is that banned? And what Dominic said, and I thought it was a great point, but you protests are allowed. Riots are allowed, right? Why are these other things allowed? And he made the point that they want to break the hold that you have on family, faith, and community. And what's the reason? The government comes out and they say the reason is for your own good. It's to keep you safe, to keep you sound. Now, again, I hope COVID goes away. And I hope if you're open to the vaccination, you get it. And if you don't want to get it, then you have the choice not to get it, right? Truth is that we need to wake up, you know, and be very careful with some of the policies that these public authorities are bringing. I do have reservations around them. I don't like the erosion of our privacy, and I do not like the erosion of our freedom or our ability to choose, you know, whether or not, you know, you want to get a vaccination or not. When you are isolated and divided, it's easier to manipulate, and we're seeing that, you know. We are seeing that. Billions of dollars have been poured into COVID relief funds, and you know, I think the government has a big agenda here. But let me go back. We'll take a few more calls. It's 888-914-9149. And again, if I have issues with the phones, and my apologies for that, I won't be able to get you on. Amanda is in Kentucky. Let me see if I can sneak her in. Amanda, good afternoon.
Hey, Drew. How are you?
Hey, I'm okay.
Thank you.
Hanging in there.
So I quickly wanted to plug your book, Divine Mercy, real quick. What an impact it's had on our family.
Thank you.
We've read it and we pray it. And my husband has an alarm set on his phone every day at 3:00.
All right.
To remind himself to pray it. So just wanted to let you know that.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Secondly, I was all set and very excited to work within my diocese at a pre-K program with 2-year-olds. And unfortunately, I was supposed to start next week, and I got a call from the director of the program, and she and both the pastor of the church, it's associated with our large church. I'm trying to remain anonymous that
sure.
way, you know,
yeah, gotcha.
To remain respectful. But they have decided, there was a parent that called in and asked if I was vaccinated. Well, if the staff was vaccinated, then
right.
I'm the only one apparently that is not, and I have been fired before I started to work.
Oh, no. Oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So what, did you go to
yeah.
did you go to any higher authority there and say, hey, yeah, this isn't right, this isn't just?
Drew, I'm really bringing it to prayer. My husband and I are pretty distraught. My husband's even more upset than I am. He thinks this is just, he's actually really upset with our diocese. He thinks they're not standing up for the individual rights and freedoms. I offered to wear a mask. I mm-hmm. said, I'm fine to even maybe try to produce an antibodies test to
right.
prove that perhaps that I've even had the virus. But I don't know really where to go with this. I don't know if it's infringing upon my personal rights, potentially HIPAA
yeah.
Violation. You know, I just don't think that was really their information to really know if I've had a vaccine, just like you wouldn't know if somebody had their flu vaccination
right.
or other ones that are elective. But I was pretty excited to work, but I'm a little disheartened that our diocese, and in particular this pastor of this church, wouldn't kind of go to bat for his staff a bit more.
Yeah, it is frustrating. And every diocese is different. Every parish really, really is different. I'm sorry. Sorry I had to go through that. Yeah, I know God
it's
brings.
Okay, Drew. One door's open.
Yeah,
and one door's closed, and one door's open by God.
Yeah,
so.
You know, and I agree with that. I mean, God brings good out of every situation, and I've had situations where I have had the perfect job or the perfect career, and then God shuts the door on that, and I'm thinking, why? This is so perfect for me. I love this. This is what I want to do, and God opened something that was even far better with even greater blessing. But you know, it speaks to a bigger problem here too, Amanda, because there's we need unity in message. And we need to, I think, have some sort of standard for somebody like you who says, look, in good conscience, and the church says, I don't have to get vaccinated if I don't want to. I mean, it's a suggestion. They're not mandating that you get it. And if you want to provide a test to say, hey, you know, I have had a swab every few weeks and I'm free of COVID, you should be able to work. I think it's unfortunate, but I know how we are mm-hmm. today. There's this hypersensitivity to make sure that nobody gets COVID, and believe me, I've known people who've died. I don't want to diminish it. It's a serious thing, and there's new variants that are coming up. But my heart goes out to you because. Can I ask you? I mean, what was your objection to it too? I mean, was it conscientious? Was it due to the connection to portal fetal lines? Are you concerned about the untested nature of it? I mean, what was it? What made you decide
all of
not
the
to get
above.
It? Okay.
Yes, certainly, Drew. All of the above. I'm really just learning a lot more about vaccinations in general and how they're made. And we're not anti-vax as a family. I just want to make that statement, as well as what you just said earlier, that you've received a ton of them traveling the planet.
My kids are vaccinated.
My children have been vaccinated. Right. Yeah. But I'm a bit concerned about the emergency use authorization. It's not yet still approved by the FDA. Certainly, I'm not giving it to my children. I have one child that's eligible, my oldest, and still a lot of questions. I'm just in the information gathering stage still.
Well, look, the chaplet's coming up, so let's pray that God gives you clarity and direction. Let's pray for a new opportunity, or maybe even a conversion in this particular situation. And, you know, it wouldn't hurt to go. I don't know if you want to go over the pastor's head. That's not good, especially when I work there. I wish there was some recourse for you. I wish I could give you some advice and tell you who you should talk to about it. But right now, let's pray for you, Amanda. And I'm grateful for your call, and I appreciate your perspective and your position on this as well. You're a classic example of a lot of people who say, I've got real issues, but you shouldn't lose your job over it. And it's not just you at the diocesan level there. It's people in major corporations around the nation and the military and other institutions as well. This is not going away. I'll be right back.